last week we were discussing the permissibility of most of the time, the lack thereof, when we're going to the mikveh b'yod yom, to go within the day itself. We mentioned that in the older days, before, we had the chumras of a woman waiting over shivnikim, just followed the bare bone minimum, the level of deraisa, of shivas yom t'yemini dasa, and the halach would play out as follows. But for the woman to go to the mikvah on the daytime, on the seventh day, would be a problem in the Torah, because the shivas yom haven't been over yet. So with deraisa, you have to wait until shivas yom t'yemini dasa, the full 7 days are over. Then, even if she wants to go to the mikvah on the eighth day, maybe yod yom, Chazal were concerned, it's called Gezeirah Mishum Tzrach Pita. They were afraid that if we let her go to the mikvah of Yod Yom, her daughter is going to see her and not realize that it's the eighth day. So it's a Gezeirah that when the daughter gets married, she's going to start going to the mikvah of Yod Yom, doing it on the seventh day, which would be a problem in that Torah. The Gemara says those are the two levels that we serve. There's one on a real bona fide level there, Isa. That's on the seventh day, and that's not negotiable in any circumstances. And then the eighth day is a Gezeirah with the Ramanan. Since the eighth day is only with the Rabbanan, under extenuating circumstances, Chazal lifted that prohibition. And the Gemara gives a few examples of it's dangerous, or the gates of the city are locked, or it's too cold, whatever the different cases are. So under very pressing circumstances, we would permit her to do what would otherwise be a violation of the Rabbanan. But in deraisa, that's obviously out of the question under all circumstances. The question now, that I think we barely touched on last, we have to continue to now, is how does this play out with manazeh? So with manazeh, the woman is not going to the mikvah on the quote-unquote seventh day of deraisa, because the woman is counting shivanikiyim. When a woman is counting shivanikiyim, so we have a special pasuk that teaches us miktas yom kekulo, that on the seventh day of the shivanikiyim, when she does a bedika, she can technically go to the mikvah at that point. So with deraisa, she can go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, not like the case of the nida deraisa, who has to wait until the night. So for us, the issue is much less of a problem. So why don't we just let a woman go to the mikvah on the seventh day, just like that? So the Gemara says that if a woman goes to the mikvah on the seventh day of Shivanikiyim, and technically she can really be with her husband at that point, but if she does, she's asking for trouble. Because if she'll see Dam later in that day, then it'll turn out that Lemafreya, retroactively, the Shivanikiyim were never really valid. Even though we let her go to the mikvah based on Mitzvah Bekula, but somehow Lemafreya, the Shivanikiyim are still not completed. And therefore, if she'll see blood 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if she had relations in the interim, she'll be chayav b'chayav koros. B'chayav wasn't amazing, but b'chayav to be a korban chatas. So it's a bad idea to go to the mikveh 8 o'clock in the morning, be together at 11, and then you see blood at 2, it's going to be a disaster. So therefore, mid rabbanan, they said, don't be together. That's crazy, don't be together. So there's machlekes and rishonim, when they said, don't be together, in the afternoon of the seventh day of Shivanikiyim, did they also say, don't go to the mikveh also? So the Balamor's opinion was, they never asked them going to the mikveh. You want to go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to the mikvah. It's easier to go. You have a wedding that night, go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, nothing wrong with it. Just don't be together until the night time. It's perfectly okay in the chetchi. That's what the Baal HaMor says. And most of the Rishab disagree with the Baal HaMor. That's how we practice the halacha, that one is not allowed to go to the mikvah, because it's the same problem, that just as we're afraid that if they'll be together, Shebetir v'tistar, the way to nip that problem in the bud is say, don't be tovelis. So don't be tovelis, that way for sure you won't come to the problem of being bala and shibatir v'tistar. That's how we assume halacha, that although min haTorah, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on the seventh day in the morning, midrabbanan they did away with it, all part of this gezeira of shibatir v'tistar.
Is this the only scenario where we say retroactively?
Right, there's the only kind of case, because normally what this need is, let's say a woman goes to the mikvah, and then they're together an hour later, she starts to bleed. So big deal. The only reason why this quirk is true is because the Shivanikiyim are not really over. So it.
What if we say?
So that's yeah. Right. So that's a walking this tightrope and saying mikvah yom kekulah. That means you're allowed to go to the mikvah and you're allowed to be together in the Torah, but they're still not over yet. So it's a strange kind of halacha, very very strange kind of halacha. Right. So even though, again, a level of deraisa, there's nothing wrong with going to the mikvah bibi od yom b'zman hazeh, because the waiting shouldn't came anyway, but alfa b'chein midrabon, according to most of the Rishonim, would be a problem. What about on the eighth day? So come a group of Rishonim that goes to Maimoni and says that on the eighth day b'zman hazeh, what could be wrong? What's going to go wrong on the eighth day? On the eighth day, the whole eighth day was only a gezeirah anyway, b'shum b'srach pita. B'zman hazeh, the ramifications of srach pita, almost nothing. What's going to be some trouble? She'll go to the mikvah the eighth day, and she'll be with the husband, and she'll see later in the day. So what? That's not going to be Shema Tirvatistor, because, as you say correctly, via the Shiva Nikiyam Mamash over. Once the Shiva Nikiyam are completely over, so then it's like any other woman, together at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then she sees 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so what? Nothing happens retroactively. So the Rabbi Osmani argues that Bisman Chazal, before Zman Chazal, the olden days, when women went to the mikvah at the end of 7 days and didn't wait Shiva Nikiyam, so then I understand why it's a bad idea to go to the mikvah the 8th day, because if you go to the 8th day, let it go on the 7th day, and that'll be a disaster. Bisman has that. You go on the 8th day, Zman, so what's going to happen? You go on the 8th day, end up going on the 7th day, and what'll happen? Should go on the 7th day? It's mutter anyway to go on the 7th day. So listen to this gazebo. Don't go on the 8th day. Gazebo, you'll go on the 7th day. And if you go on the 7th day, what's so terrible? Gazebo, Hashem, Matir, Vitistor. That's very far-fetched. We spoke about this a little bit. That's the Chal Shiraz. Now, there's like gazebos and gazebos and gazebos. So they go, Smaim, and he said, that's what we don't do. So according to the Gosh Maimon, even the man is there. A woman wants to just wait till the 8th day. We don't make for the Chachil on the 8th day. So we don't pass like that either. We pass like Tosfos that. And Chazal instituted, like we said yesterday, Kulach HaRegzer, Chazal made across the board and said, Isha lo titvol vayoyim, finish. Why? Because once in a very, very blue moon, it's about as blue as the moon can get, this is very, very far-fetched, but it could sometimes lead to day concerns, the Kilkulim, so therefore, boom, across the board, Isha lo titvol ela balayla, finish. The women don't go to the mikvah, bein on the end of the 7th day, bein on the end of the 8th day, it doesn't matter. No circumstances will we permit a woman to go to the mikvah, maybe of Yom. Now, even though we say it's true, under no circumstances do we permit a woman to go to the mikvah, maybe of Yom, but we still don't have to be more machmir than Chazal themselves. Chazal said if it's on the 8th day, if there's an ones, if there's a big tzorich, then it's takamutta. So that we will pass the mikvah, that we will do. If a woman lives in a dangerous neighborhood, or it's impossible for the mikvah, the balayla will let her go, but Yom with the 8th day. So that far we will go, but short of that, we're not going to go. So that's pretty much the background. So we take a look at page 36. To the top of page 36. So we read this a little bit, last time, just chazo for a second. So the Shulchan Aruch writes at the very top of page 36, Asura litval b'yom shvi'i. Finished. End of discussion. Can't go to the mikvah on the 7th day. Afilu yom tell us litval yom ches. Otes. Even if she waits until the 8th day, the 9th day, ein yichal litvol bayoyim. What's wrong with that? Mishum shirach bita. We're afraid that the daughter may get the wrong message, and the daughter will think that I'm allowed to go bayoyim as well. And we skip to sif dalet. The next line of the Shulchan Aruch. Hey chadika ones. What if there's a big shasat chak? Yon shirein litvol balayla machvasin. It's too cold. Oh, pachad ganov v'chiyotzeh. Or she's afraid of Ganovim, or she's sogon sharia ear, or they're locking up the city gates. Yicholit v'bashmini mibiyod yom. So then she can go to the mikvah on the 8th day mibiyod yom. V'bashvilo titvom mibiyod yom afa gavdi goyne. So the 7th day is not negotiable. Not this, again, even though the Balamor permitted it, nobody passing like the Balamor bizman hazeh. So this is pretty much standard conventional wisdom in terms of this psak halach. Are there any exceptions to this rule? Are there any very, very unique circumstances that we would actually permit her to go to the mikvah even on the 7th day, maybe Yod Yom? So there is a chiddush of the Bach. The Bach says that maybe we can apply the principle that's called Shasacha Kidiyevet Dami. You might tell us that in a few places, that sometimes you have a situation that arises that's such a Shasacha, such a present, such extenuating, such a difficult amount of, that we let you do things that we would otherwise never ever let you do. The words Lechachila mean that to do things, someone asks Shaila what to do, so you give him a psach lechatchil, means what do you tell somebody before the action happened? B'di avad, means b'di avad, means it already happened. We usually, very often people mistranslate to say, lechatchil means if you're really from b'di avad, I'm just a b'di avad kind of a Jew, leave me alone. I like to do this b'di avad. The term b'di avad doesn't mean that. The term b'di avad means that if the Shaila happened already, so then it's a different Shaila, it's a different Shulchan Aruch. That's the answer there, a different Piskei Halacha for something that already happened, ex post facto. So within that world, there's another cloud called Shasar Chakir Diyavad. There's very, very pressing circumstances. So then we'll sometimes let you do things L'chadchila as long as they would be in effect Kosher B'Diyavad. So the Bach has the following Shaila. What would the din be? Let's say a woman went ahead and she went to the mikvah B'Biyod Yom. 7th day. She didn't ask a Shaila. She went ahead. She made a mistake. Nobody caught it. She went to the mikvah 2 o'clock after on the 7th day. So what would we say about such a thing? Would we say that the Tevila is no good? We say that the Evid is no good. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sifhei. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the third of those things at the top of page 36. Im avra v'tavla v'ches v'yom v'lo ones. Let's say a woman went to the mikvah on the eighth day, like she wasn't supposed to, maybe on Yom, and there was no onus, there were no ganovim, no cold, or nothing. I feel like also a tefillah, but the evidence the tefillah is good on the eighth day, and then the Shulchan Aruch goes one step further. The chedim over the tovla, the zayin, the yom also a tefillah. That even if the evidence she went to the mikvah on the seventh day, the diavon would be good. Why is that? So in the olden days, when going on the seventh day, men going on the seventh day of Yemei Nidasa, that would not be good for the diavon, that would be in a Sakaris. But Bizman Azeh, going on the seventh day means the seventh day of Shiva Nikim. So the seventh day of Shiva Nikim in the Torah is okay, because it makes Yom Kikulo. The only problem is with the Rabbanan, because Shiva Tirvatista, the whole story. So then that problem is only a Lechatchila problem, not a B'diavon problem.
Are there any other exceptions besides for the cases that sit within Sifdala, like, that we would allow to go beyond
the eighth day?
Yeah, on the eighth day.
Yeah, yeah, if it's a real oldest, it's really
old. What if it's not mean, what if, let's say...
It's uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, those are not really real onus, onus. You know,
right.
She has company, she has this, she's by her in-laws, those kinds of things. Those are not really these kinds of things.
So
these are things that are really, they're really tough. These are really tough situations. Again, it has to be, you know, assessed case by case, how degree of onus is. Get back to the story. So, b'di'evan, Shulchanoch says, if she went to the mikvah by the eighth day, that's okay. And then a greater chiddush, even if she went to the mikvah on the seventh day, b'di'evan, that would be all right. So the Bach says, maybe we could plug into this equation, shas echake b'di'evan dami. There's an unbelievable extenuating circumstances. It would be very, very hard for her to go to the mikvah today. So the Bach says, b'di'evan, if she didn't ask us a shayla, and she went, Shaloka did, in a sense, we would say it's all right. We would have to paskin that b'di'evan it's okay. So says the Bach, so just as b'di'evan we paskin, it's a great shas el chaki d'yevan domi, that if it's in very, very difficult circumstances, we'll let her do l'chadchila whatever we would accept b'di'evan. So the Bach put together these two pieces of information, and he says, oh, so therefore, if you have a shas el chaki d'yevan, even on the seventh day, we will let her be tovelas to start. So there are some problems with this pshach of the Bach. First of all, not everybody agrees to this line, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that if she went to the mikveh even on the seventh day, but the evidence are right. So the Shach quotes that that's not clear. It doesn't say that the Feirush and all the Rishon. Some Rishon will disagree with that. So we're not even sure that we pass. We probably do pass the mikveh and did like the Shulchan Aruch, but that's a little bit of a question. And number two, if the Bach's right, that Shas Adchak is enough to permit even the Chetchila Tefillah on the seventh day, how come the Gemara doesn't say that? The Gemara talks about going on the eighth day of Shas Adchak. The Gemara says that there are lions and they're Ganovim and it's cold and the gates are closed. So the Gemara says, all right, then we look the other way and we let you go on the eighth day. If the Bach's right, the Shas Adchak is the Evidami, the Gemara should have said even greater than that. The Gemara should have said, we should let you go even on the seventh day, Mibi Od Yom. So the Echvarim say that Yesh V'Yesh, different Shas Adchaks. Those Shas Adchaks are a little bit of Shas Adchaks, but we have some really, really, if you have a really unbelievable Shas Adchak, so then maybe you can go even the extra mile and go on the seventh day. What would be an example, practically, of an unbelievable Shas Adchak? So the Pels can discuss, what if you have a situation where a woman is going to be in a place where there's no mikvah, and she's going to be here for 3 days, a 3-day yontif. She's going away, she's going to be in the middle of the boonie somewhere, there's no mikvah, no within walking distance, and her Leil Tevila is that night, the first night of yontif. So she's coming Wednesday afternoon to this place, and she's about to go to the mikvah Wednesday night. If she can't go Wednesday night, there's no way to walk to the mikvah. She won't be able to go Wednesday night, we'll go Thursday night, Friday night. There's a flight back Shabbos. She's not going to the mikvah until the earliest of Shabbos. So we're telling a woman 3 nights to remain at Surah to her husband, Shalai Kedin. So maybe that's such an unbelievable Shas Adchak that we have a right to be makel to let her go to the mikvah, maybe Yod Yom, before she leaves. She can go on the seventh day, maybe Yod Yom. So there is some who are makel on that. That was the original case that the post can discuss vis-a-vis the Bach. Not everybody was comfortable with this Bach. But maybe there's a little bit more grounds to be made for the following. There is a big question in the Rishonim. About when we say that a woman has to go to the mikvah balayla, and again, this is all based on the fact that we don't want her to get home to her husband. The whole chashash b'zman is that, unless she gets back to her husband, unless she'd be with her husband, and then she'll see dam again. It's a little bit of a stretch, but that was the gezeirah. It was a low pull across the board. So what if you have a situation where she'll go to the mikvah, mibi od yom, but she's not going to get to her husband until Laila? Why? She's not coming home until the night time. She'll go to the mikvah an hour before she goes. She'll sit in the mikvah for 2 hours. She'll walk the street. She's not going to come home. She won't see her husband until after dark. So that was a machlekes. So we showed him, is that good? So some Rishonim said, maybe that's okay. Some Rishonim said, it was a machlekes to Meshbam and Rabbeinu Tam.
Why isn't that a shachbita problem? I mean, there's no real
problem there.
So the question is, oh, that's a further question.
Does that go back to the original?
That's right, that's right. So the question is, where is Shrach Bita? Is Shrach Bita that the daughter is going to see are going or coming? So if a woman...
In a way, she's not doing it because of Shas HaKad. She's just not going to see her husband.
Right.
So what's the Torah?
Right.
So, We'll see
what Zen is. You're asking two questions. You're asking what's the Tzarech and how do you get around Tzarech Bita? So some Rishonim were of the opinion, and Tam was of the opinion that as long as, since everything is all geared towards Shematir V'Tistar, so as long as she doesn't make it home until dark, so then she can go maybe Yad Yom. So she'll go to the mikvah loop Yad Yom, she'll sit around the mikvah for a little while, then she'll come home. So the daughter who saw her leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the daughter doesn't know where she's going. Daughter sees it coming back from the mikvah, so I mean, that's a more of a shrach bita. That's the question, is why that's even so. Rabbi Tam says, as long as you get it till after dark, you don't come back till after dark, that'll be okay. So the Reshbam, Rabbi Tam's older brother, he disagreed. He said, no, that she can't even go into the mikvah until it's mamish dark. So the question is, why? What was wrong with Rabbi Tam's cheshbon, so to speak? Why didn't the Reshbam like it? Shukran, we don't really follow the Rabbi Tam. So why not? What's that problem? So the Acharonim came with the following chiddush. One of the Achorim Be'avodah said Yershuni and the Sidri Tara, a group of Poskim and Uchas Nida, came with the following Chav. They said that L'chora, Rabbi Natam is right. If everything is geared towards, we don't want the couple to be together, if L'maisa, they're not going to be together, that, it's impossible. She's never going to see him until after dark. So what could possibly be the problem? So these Achorim right. The problem is, as Eyud says correctly, it's really a problem with Shrach Bita. That's really the issue. It means this is like a psalo pluga, gezeira. We don't want any of these issues. Is the ikra chashash, the real emes of chashash, lest you be with the husband, taka doesn't apply. The only reason why we don't like her to go to the mikvah early in the day and then not come back to later, that's all part of the gezeira of the low plug of Shrach Bita. Come a group rachman and say, once you tell me that the whole reason why we're denying her the possibility to go to the mikvah, maybe Yod Yom, and then hang around till later, is all Shrach Bita. So we know that Shrach Bita, we're very makel on Shrach Bita, we are makel on the Shasachach, we're makel on Ones, that's what the Gemara says. On the eighth day, we let her go to the Mikvah B'yod Yom, L'chatchila, if there's an Ones, because it's only Shrach Bita, it's an important concern, but it's not so important. So when there's a real bona fide Torah concern, lest she mamish be with her husband, it's going to be a real derais, and it's a chorus, that's a very, very serious problem. So then, sorry, then we don't let you because of the cold and get up, and that we're not going to be makel. But if there's just the derabbanan dikalot plugidalot shrach bitas and very very low level concerns, so hey mom, Chazal lifted those concerns b'machal onis. So come a group rachmer to the following cheshbon. We usually think that the seventh day that's not shrach bita. The seventh day is the real war, is the real problems. The eighth day is shrach bita. So say group rachmerim, not always true. Sometimes you can have a tefillah b'yom on the seventh day, but the real concerns have been alleviated. And the only concerns are the low plug of Shrach Bita, but those low-level concerns, those secondary concerns, can be lifted in a situation of an oinus. So what does that mean for us? So come a group of Rachmanim says as follows. If a woman has to go to the mikvah on the seventh day, why is that? Because it's a big oinus. What's the big oinus? It's the Friday afternoon, and if she waits till Friday night, she can't walk out of the tchum, or let's say she's with the tchum, she has trouble walking, she's not a well person, it's freezing cold outside, it's a dangerous day, but all the things that we would normally let you go to the mikvah on the eighth day, maybe Yom on, which we would never consider on the seventh day, supposed to say, wait a second, we can turn around and let it on the seventh day also, as long as she doesn't get home. As long as she doesn't get home to her husband, so then the real concerns have been alleviated. The only concerns are the secondary concerns of Shrach Bita, so we just drew a halakha equation. Seventh day not coming home till dark is the halakha equivalent to the eighth day. Because the real concern is not present, because you're not going to see your husband until after dark. All the little plugs and Shrach Bitas are lifted by Mokom Oynes. That's an important equation. So that already existed in already early Achorim in Europe, already had such an idea. The Zeritanim, the Shurich, the Samsoif, already Gedolei Pelskim had such an idea. The Samsoif just raises a question. He says, where exactly is this woman going to go? How are we going to pull this off practically? He says that the whole goal was we wanted her to get away from the mikvah before it gets dark. It's dangerous. It's, you know, dark at night. It's cold. It's gotten over. So we don't want her to be out late at night in the mikvah. So we're trying to get her to come back a little bit earlier. It says Chazam Sofer, you can't tell her, well, go to the mikvah maybe on Yom and sit around the mikvah and wait. By a honey on the kula. If you're already sitting around the mikvah, so go to the mikvah after dark. So the Torah says we have to get her to go to the mikvah maybe on Yom and then come back. Come back where? Where's she going to go to? So if it says, Nebuch, she has to walk the streets. What's she going to do? She's a lazy braver. She's got to walk the streets. If she comes home, so that undermines everything. So the husband's waiting at home. He's watching the kids. She's going to walk into the house. How's that going to solve the problem? So if it says that in order to alleviate the real problem, Shematir Vatis, the baby should be with the husband, you have to have a walk around the streets until it's dark. And then all day she can come home. So Rav Moshe writes, that it makes a lot of sense, but why does she have to be the one to walk in the street? Let him walk the streets. He said, it's not an issa for her to come home. The issa is that she can't see him, because if the two of them see each other, they're together, so then Shema, they'll be together. Shema, Terebatis, so the whole concern is real. So Rosh says, no big deal. So you have to coordinate in such a way that let him walk the streets. So the days of the Chassam Sofer, I guess they couldn't figure out logistically how to do that. They got 10 little kids at home. Someone's got to watch the kids. So the husband's watching the kids. How's the husband going to know when he's got to get out before she leaves? So how's she going to get that message? They send a smoke signal to him. How in the world are they going to get to talk to each other to figure out if he's got to leave for? So Baruch Hashem, I guess we could say for that, Baruch Hashem for cell phones. Not all that often do we say that, but every once in a while. So Baruch Hashem, you have a phone now. So the wife calls. She's driving home and she says, listen, you get out the back. I'm turning around. I'm turning down our street. I'm turning in the corner. My way says I'm going to be home in 0.2 seconds. I said, you get out the back door before I walk into the house. I don't want to see you. And she didn't say it so gruffly, but says, you better get lost before I get home. So the poskim, again, those who follow this line of reasoning, this kula, would be makel under those circumstances. Now, again, this is only for shasachach. This is not standard protocol. This is the situations where it's going to be very, very difficult for her to go to the mikvah. So usually in today's world, we very rarely have this during a weeknight. So, what woman today? A crazy case. It's very hard to envision that a woman won't be able to go to the mikvah on a regular weeknight. But on a Shabbos night, on a Yom Tov night, this is a real concern. So now, this is an important issue that raised is just what constitutes the air measure. What constitutes a shasachach? You know, a shasachach could grow by leaps and bounds in these cases. So again, this whole thing is a chiddush. It's not even so posh that we even follow this. These group bachurim, other bachurim say, "Lo hoyiz v'am yom." It's a little plug. I've heard of such a thing, and then forget the whole thing. But within the world of the mekilim, so a few things have to happen. You have to coordinate properly. The husband's out before the wife comes home. And number two, you have to really establish that this is considered to be a don for shasachat, that you wouldn't be able to go balayla. If you're able to go balayla, you have to go balayla. So what constitutes a shasachat? So if the mikvah is out of the tchum, okay, that's for sure a shasachat. Or even if the mikvah is technically in the tchum, it's mamash, literally mamash, a dangerous neighborhood. You have to walk on the highways, walk into bad neighborhoods, and things like that. Okay, those are considered to be shasachat. But then you start to get into a very, very gray area as to what constitutes a shasachat. What's a shasachach? What's a shasachach? I'm having 16 people over for Friday night dinner. So who told you to invite 16 people over for Friday night dinner? That's a shasachach. I don't know. It gets very, very tricky. Or it's cold outside. So now again, it's true that the Shulchan Aruch did speak about the machmas tzeina. It's true. But there's cold and there's cold. So cold means that, and it also depends how far you live in the mikvah. I've had women who have called me who live around the corner. The mikveh here is around the corner, mamish. And people have called me from this area. They said, it's cold, it's rainy. So, it's two blocks away. You have to use your little bit of ruggedness, a little bit of toughness. It's not a freebie. What happens is, as Kayadua, a woman hears that, oh, Rabbi Ploni was not there, this woman to go to the mikveh, so it was shasachach. And, shasachach is grow by leaps and bounds. So one has to be very, very careful. I remember one time somebody called me the shayla. And they said that a certain woman, Leltville was Friday night, and it was cold, and it was rainy, whatever it was, and she felt she wouldn't be able to go alive. She wants to go to the other job. So I said, how far is the mikvah? I said, 4 blocks away. 4 blocks away. So I said, she told the woman that it's not right. I said, it's not a hefkevel. I said, you should walk the 4 blocks. It's cold. So then, it was a rabbi called. As the rabbi was about to hang up, he said, oh, I forgot to tell you one piece of information. He said, this particular woman, by the way, happens to be going nebuch for treatments now, the chemotherapy treatments. I said, that's an irrelevant unit. That's the most important piece of information. I said, I'm going to tell a woman nebuch is not well to walk 4 blocks in the freezing cold and the rain. I said, yeah, am I mine? So I said, tell the woman, she can go with Yod Yom, and then she should drive back.
It's on
the
7th day, right?
What?
It's on 7th.
Yeah, on the 7th day. And then 7th means according to the Mekilim, we'll follow this. Now again, not everybody follows this kula, but underneath, very extreme, those who follow the kula, so it's case-by-case basis as to what constitutes a shasachach. So you run into this problem all the time. This is, I don't want to belabor the point. We've talked about it enough times over the years. I said this is one of the side products of going away for yontif problem. That this is a very, very common scenario. A woman goes away, they're going away for yontif, and many of the places are not within, don't have a mikvah on premises, and many places are far away from the mikvahs. So a woman comes to the realization that, oh yeah, wait a second, I'm supposed to go to the mikvah, you know, tonight. Tonight's the first Seder night, and there's no mikvah around. If I don't go to the mikvah, you know, then I'm going to be stuck till who knows when. So, you know, again, is that enough for Shasakha to, without commenting whether she should have not been going away, but Shetachas, Bashehu Shom. Now, what do you do under those circumstances? So, a certain Rav told me a story. I don't want to say a humorous story, but it was a strange story. He said in a certain community, and I wasn't here, a certain community, that it was such a scenario that it was an Erev Pesach, and all the women who were going away that afternoon, they were all going away for Yontif, so apparently a Pesach was floating around town, they could all go to the Mikvah Yod Yom. Now, that in and of itself is a problem, because, so what about the husband situation? The whole kula is based on the husband. So some want to extend the kula that well, even if they see the husband, but the kids are there also, so if you're in the car with your kids and your husband, it's hard to believe Shabbat Yom Tistah. And we get to the hotel, so then you have to make sure your kids are in your room. Not so simple. Even if this is the Mekil, as you can see, how Shas al-Chaks grow by leaps and bounds. So we're calling it a Shas al-Chak, and we're extending some surfers walking the streets to, not walking the streets, I'm in a luxurious hotel room with my husband, but I got my kid in there also. You know, again, not the greatest setup. So apparently one of the rabbanim was asking that all the women didn't go with Biyad Yom. So all the women were going with Biyad Yom, right and left. All the women were going away. But all the women who were home for Yom Tif, so they were, and the rabbanim was saying, so they were all asking, well, we want to go to the mikvah early also, because we're having a seder, we're having people in the house, it's a big shas al-chak, it's a big hassle. And the rabbanim apparently said, no, man, that's like regular standard Judaism, so that you wait. So hopefully they finish davening later, so you go to the mikvah. So apparently it was an uproar in town. That a few women made the following, not literally accusation, but they said, Shalo yeh chayke niskar. The Gemara says that if a person does a chayt, and then they end up being rewarded for the chayt. So some of the women said, you know, you've been telling us that you shouldn't go away for yontif, and all the women who went away for yontif didn't listen to you, so they're going to the mikvah for 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're sitting and relaxing, and they're going away for yontif. And we're the ones who've been slaving in the kitchen and working, and you're telling us we have to be uncomfortable, we can't go to the mikvah till 10 o'clock, till 3 o'clock in the morning when the seder is over. Not fair, it's not right. Again, I'm not sure I would have let the first woman go, but I wouldn't have let the second woman go either. Again, I'm not sure the answer to that dilemma is, but this is, again, a byproduct of going away. You run into these problems. So there are different opinions in the contemporary poskim about this. There are some poskim who are a little bit more makil about this, who do let women go maybe al yom on the seventh day under very extenuating circumstances, provided that the safeguards are put into place in terms of not seeing the husband or whatever that means practically. And the other person will say, we don't find this whole thing. It's all things, lawyers by me, that we shouldn't follow this whole of us. We shouldn't follow this whole kula. There is an issue about what exactly the Moshe's position was on this matter. Moshe does have a tshuva about this. And at least in one place in the tshuva, Moshe was making on this. To let women go to the mikvah, maybe al yom, under these under appropriate, very, very extenuating circumstances. I don't think Moshe meant there should be a green light for everybody, but he did need it under whatever the case was. So then he had a question, so how far does that case of Moshe go? So apparently the particulars of that case were very, very big shas al-chak, very, very extenuating circumstances. So usually Rav Moshe's quote is being more lenient on this matter, which again, he was making sometimes on the Shaila, but it's not clear just how far Rav Moshe extended this, how it became almost like Rav Moshe was the making on the Shaila. I remember I was at a chasid a couple of years ago with Rabbi Choshva Rav, since old Emes now. Rabbi Choshva, elderly Rav, who was a close Talmud of Rav Moshe. He wasn't from at all. And he was sitting down next to me, and he said to me, he turns around to me, he says, I heard you're a Rav in Tinek. I said, yes. So he said to me, he said, what's the policy about letting the women go into the Mikvah Yod Yom on the seventh day, when Shabbos, things of that nature? I said, you know, there's a policy in town. I said, you know, there are Rabbanim who are Mekel, and basically the Mikvah's policy in here is that if your rabbi's Mekel, we're not going to stop you. So we'll facilitate to go to the Mikvah Yod Yom if you have a psalm from your Rav who says that's okay, and we're not going to double, second guess your Rav. That's generally the policy here. So he got very upset. He said, you know, so that's a big mistake. He said, everybody quotes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said, I'm a Talmud of Rav Moshe. I was there, he said to me. I was there when Rav Moshe was presented with the Shaila, and it was such an unbelievable Shaila. I forgot what the case, was. He says, Rav Moshe would never be makel the way people are makel this matter. The whole thing is a big mikshel. Rav Moshe never, ever would have approved this on mass going to the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, because it's a little bit of a, that it's cold or something, things of that nature. So he gets upset. If it happened to be that some of my Rebbeim also agreed that it's not such a good idea, I said, I'm just telling you what to do. But again, he wasn't angry. You know, he was like bemoaning. He was a very nice man. He was bemoaning the fact, like he said, I was there. He said, I was the one who wrote that tshuva. That was, and then soon after that, this Rav passed away. Soon after, so I never had a chance to follow up with the discussion with him. But I remember he commented that this was a little bit of an extension of what Rav Moshe had said. Anyway. Getting back to the story. So are there any other cases where maybe we could be a little bit makil about going with Yom Kippur?
What's Shabbos Rosh Hashanah that we assume a daughter is going to know when the mother's going to be?
I mean, she may know, even though it's Tznius reasons.
Yeah,
but the emphasis is that as the girls get older, usually there's a teenage girl in the house, and she's perceptive a little bit, she'll sometimes chah. So that might be the that's where when the girls and the boys in the house get a little bit older, women should be a little more careful about being mysterious about things. Because once kids are old enough to understand these things, so then kids are curious. So the Shulchan Aruch on page 36 in the 7th of the Ramakomos, so the Ramo actually at the end of that piece in the 7th of the Ramakomos, so the Ramo writes, "V'akalos tovlos kar machupa yichos l'tvo bayom." The only case where even lechatchila a woman can go to the mikvah with yom is a kala. Why is that? The ha'ein halo boy eitz lachosin halalaila. They said that she's what kind of shabbat tirbit is this? The wedding is not till the night. So even the Ramah is describing going to the mikvah the day of the wedding itself. This man is dead. It's like unheard. No woman today goes to unless she got messed up with shabbat nikim. No woman today is going to go to the mikvah the day of the wedding because this man is actually. She has to do her nails. She has to do her hair. She got a lot of other things going on. But in Krakow, not too much was going on, so she would go to the mikvah and mamash on the day of the wedding itself. So the Rama writes, they didn't make the weddings until the night. They didn't have the chuppah, the yichah, whatever, until the night time. People working during the Sunday afternoon. They didn't have Sunday afternoon weddings in Krakow. So they actually had used to have the Friday afternoon weddings. So they didn't mamash get together. The chazakah didn't barely saw each other until it was already dark. So the Rama writes, so what's the big deal? It's the Shabbat Tirmatista. So for a regular woman, there's a Shabbat Tirmatista, there's a Shrach Bita. So she's not married yet, so there's no Shrach Bita, there's no Shabbat Tirmatista. The whole thing is not a low plug. So the only case under the sun will let the woman go to the mikvah and be able to without any hesitation is the case of the Kala. So even though the Ramah is make it outright, so I'm supposed to say, wait a second, that's so simple. Is that true? What day of Shabbat Nikim is this? Is this the seventh day of Shabbat Nikim, or is this the eighth day of Shabbat Nikim? So some folks can say, only if it's the eighth day, or eighth, or past. If it's the seventh day, then we're concerned. Another thing, what are you concerned about? The whole thing is Shema Tirvat Istar. Even on the seventh day, Minatar, it's Mother. What's the Shema Tirvat Istar? The Chasa is not till the ninth time. That's Machlaikis Atoskin. So this comes up for us. Again, usually 99% of the time, it doesn't come up, because the women start the Shema Nikim, 10, 11, 12 days before they're going to go to the Mikvah anyway, for the Kalas, and then they go to the Mikvah 2-3 days before the wedding, and usually, there's no issue. So we let them go by Yom. But every once in a while, you have a case where the Shiva Nikim got thrown off a little bit, and now, poof, she finishes the Shiva Nikim on the day of the wedding. So Sunday morning, she does her last bedik, and the wedding's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So now what? So can we let her go to the mikveh now? Sometimes the Ramah's description, Einan Baos Ledea Chosin, out of Erev, is not true, it's not as on Sunday, legal holiday, we have weddings in the daytime. So let's say this time of year, it doesn't get dark till late fucking night. So the chuppah is long over. The yichud room, they're done with the yichud room by 6 o'clock already. So the couple's going to the yichud room. She just went to the mikvah 3 hours ago. Is that okay? That's a potentially serious problem. That's a potential Shabbat Tirvat Istar. So we'll have to see. Mitzvah next week we'll pick up in terms of the issue of how this plays out l'maisa in terms of the kalas going to the mikvah. Hopefully we'll move on to the next step.
No one's going to be at the wedding.
You're right. No chanami. But this is all included in that overall gezeirah.